got the credit card conviction, will be the manner in which we process it. We need to develop a kind of a program that sort of look at the processing of the thing, a separate from our current program, and try and edit it back. Because, as I have said, that we're not going to write ourselves today now that we are meeting, and therefore we decide a way to do both of the thing. We're not going to do that. We're going to allow a space where the matter has been started very quickly. When therefore, I'm going to take our time in making sure that the outcome that we want to see is an outcome that we have not expected, in fact, yet, with that particular person. But at the same time, addressing the object of the being which we need to be and all that I should. Therefore, I'm saying that there are members who engage in my technical account. We have to develop a language for the process of how we're going to deal with our issues. So the document in our position is that this summary of the motion. And then I have just received now from our side the parliamentary written appeal on the PMTA. We do not make it public now, but when it starts to take it, then they will be able to make copies before you leave the meeting, or someone in the middle of the meeting will be able to make copies. We've not yet invited them, we'll call them at some point. But for now, for members, the department, and for members to engage directly, and from the law school advisors here, and everybody that, from members who want to take an hour, then that will then sort of help us. Anything
calling under broadcast. It's under chapter 9. If they are suggesting that Freedom and Publication Board is going to take the role of an independent chapter 9 institution, so what does that mean, Chairman? Thank you.
So for the
So I'll give this man and then followed by Sandy. Now, the point that causes the question that causes the raising, I know that they from their side maybe they trusted advisor. They want to respond, but I know that it just came into this thing now, someone has been on this issue before. But therefore we'll allow it, but the department itself, I think in some of the questions that causes already asked. Just say we have the potential to respond in the process of the agreement. And then we'll come in ourselves later at some point on how we see some of the clauses of the system. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Chief, for the opportunity to give some input on the priorities that we have last week. I think it's important to the aim. From the AT side, it's really to focus on the question of child poverty. That is our approach, and that must be the primary objective. I don't think there is no way to attempt to muddle the media, the freedom of speech, or whatever. I think our approach is to get the solution. The question I have, and maybe the department can respond to that, we had a lot of presentations last week focusing on the child regulation regime that's currently in place. And I think in any environment, self regulation is really the first choice. For civil society to itself. The question is, how do we balance that, on the one hand, the strong representations that we see from the community, the public hearings, to ensure that your child pornography is read, and how do we look at the whole situation of self-regulation? Because in some of the presentations that was made last week by Sanes, Gata, I think there was an indication that some of the current codes should be maybe supplemented or addressed. And I think, Chair, that is maybe one of the issues we must maybe look at in the coming weeks, maybe to ask those stakeholders maybe to come back. Say to them, well, if we look at the current code, if we look at the current regime for the public to voice their opinions, is there alternative steps that can be done to address that? To address maybe the concerns that you raise. But I think it's very essential that ANC wants to address the issue of child pornography. That is our mandate. And we must look at ways to do it. And I think maybe we need further clarification from some of the institutions in relation to the current code. Because if code is not working, it can't affect us. Let's take an example of self-regulation in civil society. Like in the legal profession, you've got self-regulation. If a member, for instance, is in contravention of the law society's code or the bar council, the disciplinary steps, they can be debarred, there can be further steps taken against the criminal steps. There is a public process and a public outcome. I think the question is, in terms of the present compulsory regime, is there enough emphasis in ensuring that legitimate concerns are addressed? Do the public, is there a feeling that they will get today in terms of getting adequate responses to the concerns are addressed? So that is, I think, if you look at all the recommendations from last week, the public code is very essential that we focus on our main mandate. I don't think you know, last week there were some, in some instances, people who said that is now an effort to, you know, to make the media and so on. I think that is not our approach, that is not our mandate, and we want to come to a situation where we can ensure that our main aim of, you know, prosecuting child pornography is being dealt with effectively. That is, that should be our focus, and I think that is maybe. Maybe we must consider that after that to maybe recall some of the old days that we are not to get real clarifications into that thing.
Working. Thank you, Chair. And we at the ACDP, we are obviously on record as opposing all forms of pornography, and we obviously welcome the attempts to deal with child pornography and to rid society of this scourge. We've always said pornography is a theory, but rape is a practice. And we were similarly horrified at the voice, and we raised our concerns about the use of tabloids and also some of the films that have been shown on ETV. We expressed our concerns about that. We also appreciate the fact of the self-regulation has been admitted by the media to be deficient in certain regards, and that it needs overhauling the Press Ombudsman and the Broadcasting Complaints Commission. Does that mean that one then does away with self-regulation at all? I don't think so, and I think that it would be good to recall some of the members of both the printed press and the broadcasting media to hear how those attempts to overhaul those self-regulatory provisions are taking place. We are concerned whilst we admit or we see that we hear that it is not the stated aim of the ANC to muzzle the press, which in itself would be unconstitutional. However, the provisions as presently worded would amount to a disastrous impact on freedom of the press. And we do believe that one's got to look very carefully at that, particularly if the stated intention is to deal with child pornography, which we all accept. We have great concerns about the extension of the issues relating to broadcasting. We believe that sufficient provision is contained in the Act at the moment to deal with the offence of broadcasting, as was highlighted by the broadcaster's lawyer. We believe that ICASA is an independent body which deals with the whole issue of broadcasting, and that aspect would amount to an unconstitutional amendment, and we think that we have a severe problem in that regard. As far as the printed media is concerned, there is the exemption under Section 22(3), and we would suggest that to deal with the issue of child pornography under 22(3), one could limit that exemption to say, save for the provisions of Section 27 relating to the distribution of child pornography, the exemption could say. And we believe that that would deal with the issue of the distribution of child pornography by the printed media. That simple limitation of the exemption, as opposed to the total deletion of the exemption under Section 22. And we believe that that would be a means of dealing with the distribution. At this stage, the printed press has said they do not distribute child pornography, but we saw that in the voice, and that we believe was wrong, and we understand there is a criminal investigation in that regard. We have a great concern about the extension of the issues relating to not only sexual conduct, but reporting on violence, reporting on hate speech, that broad definition of hate speech. We would really like the department to explain to us why it's so broad and is not in terms of the Constitution, which has the added test of the imminent violence in terms of our Constitution. So we believe that that addition could also result in constitutional problems. So, Chair, at this stage, those are our concerns. We share many of the concerns issued by constituents such as SOC, such as RATCAN, and the Catholic bishops relating to the whole issue of pornography and child pornography in particular, but we believe there is a means of dealing with that where you bring both the print and the broadcasting media under the provisions that would make an offence to distribute pornography without doing away with the exemption that has always existed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I haven't yet gotten into the top simple stuff because I've just got back, but I want some clarity. Is the bill that we are discussing in the same form as it was introduced last year? Because I understood at a programming meeting that there was a letter from the Minister of the Department of Home Affairs to the Leader of Government Business stating that she was going to propose amendments. And my understanding was it was based on when she had a meeting of stakeholders. I think the meeting was held with the Deputy Minister Pahad last year. And also whether this committee would have access to the contents of that meeting and what the resolutions were at that meeting. Thanks.
Around the incident, it's not sufficient to work on the Constitution. I think for Grace and Sam, they do have a point. We were not necessarily, when we were looking at the as-related with what are called unintended consequences. But then the question is the customer meant to be dealing with content or is customer meant to be dealing with language? As far as we are concerned, they are actually strictly speaking supposed to be dealing with issues around broadcasting. And the FTP has been created to deal with issues around content. I think they actually deal with content as an almost incidental consequence, in the sense that it is part of their licensing terms and conditions, but it is not necessarily their core function. In that respect, when you look back, they actually to a great, in fact, all the time, they refer to self-regulation. And my point is not whether self-regulation works or not, but just by virtue of principle, they're actually supposed to be dealing with issues of licensing. And by accident, they then also go into issues of content. But if I may, if you may indulge me, Chair, I would go further and say, and this is what we've always been saying as a Federal Publication Board, in light of the resources that we do not have, and in light of the fact that we are one state with many entities, perhaps it becomes appropriate for us to look at what the various media institutions in South Africa are doing. I think there's a lot of overlap. I think there's a lot of streamlining that needs to be done. Maybe that's the point where we need to start.
Can you look at this issue that the issue of content. The mandate of it has on licensing and dealing with content. So we look at the it's part of the area that I was supposed to record in the because I was even members to look at this role of the last time we met with them in the adjustment of the way of I encourage members to go to the decision. So if you have the decision in your place. So as you interact with the decision that the people.
Thank you very much. I'm just referring to section 192 of the Constitution. I think that's very important for the committee to take into consideration when we talk about the use of the word regulate. Because it says national legislation established an independent authority to regulate broadcasting. Now, as the CEO of the SME indicated, the question to me here is, does regulate mean the licensing as well as looking at the content, or does it only mean giving licenses? Why is the FBB being brought into being? Because they're looking at content, and even if you look at the submissions made by the broadcasters, they clearly indicated that they do make use of certain of the codes of the FBB as guidelines in this regard. So I think that's a discussion is very difficult from the department side. I think it's a much bigger discussion that needs to unfold here as to what does regulate broadcasting in section 192 of the Constitution mean? Does that entail licensing as well as looking at the content, or does it go further than that? Thank you.
I thought that the rather so you are able to do that. Something that we earlier that you don't know. From the parameters that have been issued to me,
the speaker goes to the speaker, so I'll try to speak. Ms. Mukhbar said Roma's interpretation is too limited because it doesn't stop at saying to regulate broadcasting. It says regulate broadcasting in the public interest. And to me that is a lot more wider than just issuing licenses. And in the process of issuing licenses as well, it would impose conditions. And to me, imposing conditions would be regulating content as well. So I think if we say that they're only issuing licenses, is limiting the interpretation too much. And I don't think that would be a constitutional interpretation of the section.
Let's deal with that. And to deal with this point, can we again look at the current relationship between the board and the council? In what we informed was that there are three guidelines set up by the board that ICASA had sort of those guidelines that the board has set up. ICASA went within those guidelines. I want to understand this relationship as to how do you then relate to this independent body that deals with the licensing and content and use these guidelines. How do you arrive at that point? At what level of the law that says this is what we must do with the CASA? Just want to understand that part. Because I think one area that is very high-level area that must be I see that Chetty was making this point.
Thank you.
taking on many broadcasts, but I'd like to give you an example of the sort of cooperation that we didn't receive, in fact. About a year ago, I wrote to ETV and said that your advertising or your broadcasting of adverts of very sexually explicit material on ETV simply by SMSing a number of numbers, you get very explicit photographs. And I pointed out to ETV, in fact, that first of all, that's an illegal phrase, that it should not be broadcast at all, because they're not registered with the board in the first place for distribution of adult material. Therefore, it should not be broadcast, in fact, that you are advertising something that is illegal. And the response I got was that, look, you know, you mind your own business. That was the effect. And that as long as the advertising standards board doesn't complain, we are not going to be bothered with it. And I contacted the Advertising Standards Board only to be told that they probably look at the content of these sort of adverts that usually get in the newspaper, in the classified section, the solicitation adverts, that they don't really look at the content of the adverts. So we have a broad agreement with FABC 123 and with ETV as far as the guidelines are concerned. But I think it's also very important to make this point, and I think this is the point that sometimes the broadcasters miss, that the decision of the board, insofar as the decision concerns protecting children from harmful and disturbing materials in film, that decision is prescriptive. And any distributor or exhibitor who, in fact, is in breach of that decision actually commits a criminal offense and can be prosecuted, and therefore there's a criminal record. Insofar as broadcasters are concerned, their warnings are simply cautionary, advisory, discretionary, so that there is no criminal offense as far as that is concerned. So there is this discrimination, as it were, between distributors of films outside broadcasting and the distribution of films through broadcasting, and then it's the same product. So that if certain corporations show Emmanuel, which is classified 18, to a 16-year-old, that would be a criminal offense, but not so as far as ETV or CBC is concerned. So there is a difference in that as well. But the cooperation really it depends on the extent to which a decision of the board or the guidelines of the board does not interfere dramatically with the broadcaster's purpose to fight popular films at prime time to maximize advertising and so on. So there are these concerns. I think ultimately the point I'm really making is that it is not working as well as it could. And if I may see your permission, I got a report from the board this morning that there were a number of public complaints to the board today, in fact, following the public hearing. There's been a lot of interest generated. A number of people have complained about TV programs, and they were referred this morning to BPTSA, and I am told, and this is subject to confirmation because I asked for the report from the board to be emailed to me immediately, and I haven't received that yet. And I'm told that BPTSA referred it back to the board, saying that there's nothing we can do about it. The complaints that we received from the public this morning, the complaints regarding television programs, and the board referred it to BCTSA, and I'm advised, Mr. Chairperson, that BCTSA referred it back to the board, saying that there's nothing we can do about it. Yes. And here's the complaint about television.
You have a follow-up here. And then before we get to the more details, can we deal with the part which I want to get clarity on the constitutionality? Okay, can you deal with that part and talk about the computer? And then once we're done with it, there will come back. At this point, I'm trying to pin down what we must do. Now, we look at the role of CASA, the licensing, and the content, the role of the streaming competition. As correctly you sort of arranged the number of points for the areas that sort of bind CASA, but within the response, the streaming competition bid, was not the bid, the aggregate. So I would just have to not give it to the Now, the complexity of this question, this attempt to make an exemption, you have exempted a friend from a abortion, right? Therefore, the attempt now is to make the exemption. The bill says we need that exemption. Now, is it constitutional to make that exemption?
Yes. Because this independent fact
that when you list this, you are interfering with freedom of expression. Freedom of speech and all those things that are saying.
What is it that you try to do when you will undermine this
constitutional right given? Because they will do that and they should not say that right now when you come in again and they see the number of enclosures. I think they are in that line, right?
Can I just ask, did you say you had a legal opinion
already? No, we'll come to that. We'll come to the one to hear the statement first. We'll come with our...
I just wanted characters to
register. Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jesus. Yes, here we come to the legal opinions now. Based on the bill that was drafted, it said we requested a legal opinion also from the state to advise from our side, the department side. And just in conclusion, I'm not going to read the whole opinion now, but with regard to the specific issue dealing with the exemption, taking away the exemption, the finding there was that the opinion is held that Clause 21 of the bill may be in conflict with the right to freedom of press insofar as it removes the exemption of newspapers from the provisions of the Act. Having said that, my view in that regard is that we should, maybe I'm jumping the gun here, as I'm saying to executive, or brought to order, that we retain the exemption. But when we retain the exemption, it must be clear that the print media, in my view, should not be exempted from the other provisions, the criminal provisions, say, provisions of the Act. Because what can happen is somebody publishes something in the newspaper, it's after the fact. You have to have some other method to pull the reins, as it were, to hold them and say, well, you contravene the provisions of the Act, and if you're thereof, you are liable. But that is after the fact. So they don't have to submit for pre-certification, or for certification, but if they contravene the provisions of the Act, they should be liable. I think that comes to where Mr. Swart indicated that we should add a rider maybe where you say subject to provisions of Section 27 of the Act. Thank you,
Chair. Let me ask I'll give you...
If I may add to that, Chair, I think that issue, another issue that was not foreseen by the team, depending on your interpretation, is the issue around pre-certification. It was never the intention of the drafting team to have newspaper submission on a daily basis. There's absolutely no way. We can hardly deal with what we currently have to deal with. There's absolutely no way that we have the division that we'll be able to deal with the media generally submitting their articles and everything of their work to the Film and Publication Board on a daily basis. So I think in as far as that, if we were to remove that, there certainly shouldn't be issues around constitutionality. But I think, in addition to that, Chair, from what I recall on our part as a team, I think it was an oversight on our part to not include the issue of incitement to violence. I think that was certainly an oversight, because there's no way that we were intending that we want to just have to just say people can not based on certain on race, gender, and all those categories. For no particular reason, you have to then link it to something where we are going to say you do not intend to incite. For as long as it incites harm, then it is the only time where you are then protected by the Constitution. So I think in that respect, that was also a mistake.
Thank you.
why this point is taking your
time. I just want to add to that, Chairman. I think it's important to note, in fact, I agree with what the CEO said. I mean, of the extension widening maybe, I mean, if you look at the Canon of the Constitution, discrimination already is very wide in the Constitution. It's not limited to the Section 62 C, as it relates to based only the four factors. In Section 9, you'll find age and gender, sexual orientation, etc. And I think we have to also bear in mind that this is for purpose of classification. The amendments are not intending to create new offenses. This may be proposed for classification because prejudice can be based on a number of other issues apart from religion, race, ethnicity, and gender. Sexual orientation, homophobic statements, for instance, ageism, for instance. So there are other factors which could also be very prejudicial and could incite violence or harm. So we've extended it just as Section 9 on discrimination in the Constitution has extended that. In terms of newspaper concern, the Act does not only provide the objective of regulating distribution. The Act also says quite clearly how that regulation is to be done. And it says quite clearly regulation is by means of classification, and it sets out the procedure that has to be followed, which means you appoint a classification committee, you've got to give notice to the other side when the hearing will take place. All those things take time, I think a minimum of 3 weeks as far as the publication is concerned. So that by default, newspapers are grossly excluded from pre-publication classification. By default, so the process that is in the Act itself doesn't allow it.
So who is that?
This is what I'm coming to, Jefferson. What I'm saying is, both the CEO and Mr. Harrison have made it very clear that, in fact, they are excluded from classification, but they should not be excluded from the offense provision, because nobody can be excluded from provisions that apply nationally. And just to give comfort to newspapers, I think they should understand that the exclusion of newspapers from classification process, or prior print as they want to call it, means, in fact, they will not be subject to the regulatory function of the board at all. What it means is that there will be a set of guidelines which they should participate in establishing, in fact. A guideline for what is deserving and harmful, that the public interest. They should be participating in that, because that it in fact represents even the sort of guidelines that, because we don't want to establish guidelines which are unenforceable.
They should be able to enforce the code of conduct.
We are not sure that code of conduct whether in fact it represents what the public thinks is the limit to what children should be exposed to, whether there is an obligation on the part of the board to make sure that the limit of limitation of exposure is based on the public's acceptance that this is the limit. And therefore, the point I'm making is that newspapers should be reassured that they will not be subject to the regulatory function of the board, but they cannot be exempt from the criminal law provision or the criminal or the offense provision of the Act, and that they should be subject to the guidelines.
I would do these on the guidelines. Can I give you let's know this part as to how you want to bring them into the guidelines of the anything. They see your guidelines. Therefore, their independence is now in the same way. So we deal with that at some point.
But just look at the data. Can we get you those kind of minds now on the issue of that? Thank you, Chief. I think your office, the opinion that you said is the opinion of our office, from our office. So that was the report that we took with regard to the exemption that we referred to.
Yes.
said it here, I've dealt with the exemption. I don't know if there's just there's two other areas that we've also requested an opinion on. I don't know if I can elaborate, because some of that will answer some of the questions that have been raised later on. Clause 14 of the bill, which introduces the section 16.2 and subsection 4 of section 16 into the Act. And the question then was also asked whether that is in conflict with the Constitution. And based on that, the section 36 of the Constitution really to limit the right, etc. And the conclusion reached in this regard is that clause 14 of the bill is not in conflict with the Constitution. And they affirmed our views in this regard based on an explanation that was given in the legal opinion. Thank you.
Let me just question them, or give our parliamentary advisors just to give a comment on the issue, specifically the constitutionality of the I've asked that they have taken a complaint on the hours, so I'm just interested on any issues that you have in your opinion. Will I have copies of the document? Do you have a document on these issues that you're talking about? Or is that the Amazon or somewhere? Do you have a document?
This is a legal opinion. A legal opinion that we see.
Why is the legal opinion? Did you make it public for members?
Yes.
We have put
it. No, we haven't made it.
Did you make it public? Yeah. So that tomorrow when you run away, so I want to get copies of that video. Yeah.
Thank you.
But let me give the parliamentary information, can come in and sort of give us your views on the issues as we sort of let me that you will be with us for quite some time in the public area, especially in parliament. Do you still want to deal with this issue of the
Clarify us in terms of separation of power. Who is going to act up to which angle? Because as President and Chairperson, they have joint jurisdiction in terms of the arrangement. All of them, they have the power to make legislation. But the Constitution says anything independent to be broadcast.
Insofar as 192, section 192 of the Constitution is concerned, our opinion is that by bringing broadcasters within the regulation of the board would be unconstitutional. We're not saying the other legislation outside of legislation administered by ICASA does not apply to broadcasters. What we're saying is if the legislation brings broadcasters within the regulation of any other body than ICASA, then it becomes unconstitutional. And Section 16 or 12.14. The problem with Clause 14 would be if the exemption in favor of newspapers was taken away, because then it would mean that the way Section 16 is drafted, it would mean that they would have to submit almost every article that they would be publishing. Then it becomes unconstitutional because it's censorship. If the exemption stands, then other publications can be classified, and the effect of the classification on other publications wouldn't be the same as newspapers, which we would have to wait before they publish a story because they're waiting for the story to be classified, which in effect could in some instances mean that they end up not publishing the story, and that would be an infringement of the right in terms of Section 16, and our opinion again is that wouldn't be a justifiable, reasonable and justifiable limitation in terms of Section 36, because it would be effectively taking away the right. It wouldn't be limiting the right, it would be taking it away completely.
My question would be to the other legal team. In fact, it's
because
so what do you think I was raising? It's a pity that you generalize people so you can't have a group of lawyers in the same place and have
them
But I was interested to find out, I think the debate is very wide. If we talk in public interest firstly, in terms of 192, we talk in public interest. It's a difficult question, but who's the public and whose interest are we talking about firstly? And I think I would say specifically, just as a matter of interest, in light of what the question has been here, we're talking about public participation that has taken place in the last few days. And yet, we've had those other participation processes where we went out to communities. How have we accommodated those public comments that I don't see reflected here? And I think we need to bring that process on board somehow, so that we really have a balanced opinion of who we are talking about when we're talking public interest. I'm trying to connect the issues. That's my first question. My second question is, we have Section 28 in the Constitution that I haven't really had most of the people represented that we are talking about. They all come in and they all say, yes, we agree to pornography and da 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 da. But nobody has really said Section 28 talks about the interest of the child in Parliament. And I haven't really had anybody saying what is it that we can do to make sure that we take the paramount interest of kids into account in how we are dealing with this legislation. And my third issue is, everybody's talking about the freedom of the media, freedom of expression, but we're really underplaying what the limitations are, propaganda to war, incitement to violence, and all those limitations. I think there's just been a lot of hype around the freedom, without taking into account what the obligations and the responsibilities are. And in that regard, I would really like us to try and find a balanced way of dealing with the subject. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, I think I raised another point that I think we didn't mean that time. The issue of the public opinion that we during the public hearing that we are moving on. The people commented on this issue, therefore I was just asking to put here that the document was released at the level, so that we can even look at what ordinary people were saying in those villages, you know, deep in the front sky, in the summer and northwest, in the first state, and so here people did make comments that it's really different. But that document is later, but I think it will form part of the way forward. Today we may not conclude the day of the correct movement at the end, but we'll take into account those views. And even the current written submission that we members will still have to go through that decision. Members will still have to go through the civil rights parliament and raise issues. And therefore, parliament will establish that there is, you know, it can be direct to a point of so and so and so. So that, you know, there's this clarification. I know that parliament challenges have gone with the overseas women's service, a public qualification. I met one of the people that the parliament management at the airport. He said, no, we're going to the US and whatnot to study public qualification. I think we have set up a wonderful standard ourselves. In the last public hearing on the same deal in the building, and the same deal on the where you exclude participation from the voice call. But what does it say when the public says we don't agree with what you want to do? The public says we don't agree. The majority of the people who spoke during the We don't support. But now you see the issues of the rights and the constitution, therefore. And I'm quite very important issues that the minority rights always be protected. But I think we need to engage to a point where we take into account the views of the public. Quite very well. So there's a meaningful input that they make when it comes to lawmaking programs. You know, it's not what my party says is not. You know, with the public interest. Therefore, it's important that it may not be the champion of the public interest as a party. But I think all of us would have to take into account. Therefore, yeah, we'll watch for that. Note that in fact, in the next round, we'll definitely make it a point, but that's definitely something. Let me give Jose, I think we, before I give Jose, because you will come, are we now convinced, or are we now in some kind of an argument, that what the dean wanted to do was unconstitutional, or the dean constitutional, what wanted on the listing of the exemption? Because I have not yet understood the truth. Who are these people that want to subject? Because some publications can be sort of they can come through via the board, but therefore the newspapers cannot, the broadcasters cannot. Then who is this that we want to wish for? That we want to classify. So the bill has not been classified. The advice. You don't tell them that this was not good way, but always advice, but you don't understand that. But who are these ones that they have to be subjected? It seems to me like a month when you have seen openly by the voice and tweet. And before we get to the issue of the voice, can you just say, can we get a report back on the case of the voice? Part of what we agreed that the last meeting. Well, that say you make a follow-up, you advise the board, the committee, if there's no move, you take certain issues. The one that position be taken today is the move. Can you advise or what's the committee?
Yes, yes. I managed to, in fact, talk to the Scotian lawyer and referred me to the deputy director of prosecution who was handling the matter. And I spoke, I managed to get to speak to him. He sent me an email to confirm, in fact, that no decision has been taken as yet because the investigation is not yet complete. It's a matter of still under investigation, and that they will only make a decision once they've completed this investigation. And I implored her not to take any decisions before we are advised about the decision, whether it's to go ahead with the prosecution or not, whatever the decision. Make sure that somehow there is communication to the CPD before they make that decision. But there are a few other issues that I said I would like to raise that they would have to take into account before they make a final decision. Because there are certain, if the newspapers want to be technical, then I think there are a few technical issues that I want to raise as well, which would impact on whether or not there can be a prosecution. So it is still under investigation.
So who decides now, if you still have to use your own, who decides? The police or the board? Who decides?
The police haven't presented the document to the DPP.
Yeah.
So the DPP has to decide.
Okay. I didn't know you were just saying that.
No, I really told the DPP that there are a few things that I would like to
do. What the police are going to do, what police are going to do, to hear what so therefore, are you confirming that the matter is
The matter is still under investigation, yes. It's not a closed issue.
So therefore, there's no need for a committee to invite the...
Doesn't seem... Because I don't think they would be able to add anything more.
Let me give Jose. No, Fosana is the question. On this question.
Yeah.
It's on this matter. So if you're going to come on this matter with something on separation.
Then
it
comes to this question.
Okay, let's deal with this one and your legal committee division that they will have to sort of invite this month. If there's no change. Yes.
So obviously that is the essence of all of our concerns relate to the criminalization of the possession or distribution of child pornography, and that is what people aim to do. Now, my proposal to bring the printed media under the provisions and remove the exemption by adding the savings article under section 27 would bring them under the media. But now I'm a bit confused, because that is the essence. If there's already a charge, Mr. Chetty, is it in terms of section 27.1? And that is what we need clarity from legally, because then if the DPP decides to prosecute them under section 27, that means the print media is already subject to the criminal sanction. And therefore, notwithstanding the exemption, why did we have to amend anything? And I think that's the essence. I don't think that they are subject to the provisions of the law, but I'd be very interested to hear, and that's why maybe at some stage we need to hear, because the DPP, they the ones that work to decide, and that's the dilemma that they face with us in this year's time. They don't know whether those printed threats are subject to section 27, because there's a total exemption. The exemption says the printed media are not subject to any provision of this Act. The statutory offence is created by section 27. If they're not subject to it, then all statutory offences do not apply to the printed media.
What about the anti-exemption? Do you think that it would be wise? I saw it constitutional reason. Yes, come here. Now, I want to advise the members that I don't want us again to be seen interfering with the further investigation. Which I understand you said. You have a case for this?
Not a South African case, but I have made reference to cases before the United States Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court made it very clear that no person is exempt from criminal law provisions across the board. And that, in my opinion, in fact, I suggested that, in fact, if it is a matter that goes to the court would read into that section 22(3) exemption that it does not extend to exemption from criminal provisions. But the court would read that because it could not have been Parliament's intention that nobody but newspapers can publish that. Everybody else is going with it from except newspapers. But that could not have been Parliament's intention. So that my understanding of that is that the court will interpret Section 22(3) to say they may be exempt from classification and regulation by the board, but they're not exempt from the criminal provision.
I'll give you some.
Those are some of the things. If the committee recalls when we did the presentation on why we wanted to bring amendments in, amongst other things, key objectives were to clarify some of the positions and understand the law. These are things to stakeholders about what it is that is expected of them. And I think one of our thoughts is exactly why I've been running away from this matter. Because it's a question of opinion. You go to one person, they tell you the interpretation. You go to another, they tell you the interpretation. And both cases, in both instances, you would have, I mean, a legal opinion is merely about what position you're taking. And you go and you take those particular cases that you support your opinion. And it's exactly why it is important for us to then clarify in the law and say, this is exactly what is expected and this is not what is expected. Now we have to rely on the court to actually read into the law and interpret it. And I think that that's where our difficulty comes in.
I think
what I was going to say has already been said by because at the end of the day, we can't be sure that the interpretation the court is going to give. It's safer to be clear in the legislation what we want to say and not leave it to the court to interpret. So in the case of the board, the current case, we really are at the court's mercy to see how the court is going to interpret it. But we don't know for sure that the court is going to say that couldn't have been the intention of the legislature.
Thank you very much.
I agree wholeheartedly with the two previous speakers. I just think I would want to refer this to the to one legal team and us. Chairperson, if you look at section 22(3) of the Talent Act, it reads as follows. The newspaper published and a poster of the newspaper issued as an advertisement of any newspaper by a publisher who is a member of the Newspaper Press Union of South Africa shall not be subject to the provision. Now there's a distinction. The question that needs to be asked here is, does the voice form part of Newspaper Press Union of South Africa? If they do not, they are subject to the provisions of this Act and they can be profited. So that to me would be the indication. They have to take that into consideration. Either that would be faster now, the Press Association of South Africa. So we just need to, when we read second, but that's going into deliver section 22(3) of the current Act. 22 subsection 3.
I wrote this first union of South Africa. Huh? So where is this union now? It cannot refer to something that does not
exist. It existed at that time,
where is it now? If you want to. The voice is a new newspaper. Now, this union of South Africa, this first union, where is it? Because
He's not even amending this law.
To recognize that the union is long gone. We are receiving this.
So before
you receive this, the matter is before the court. Therefore,
who is then going to be in line with the fact? We are then saying the insects are the main newspaper. Sometimes you will have maybe other sister papers which might not be as we are moving towards democratizing the processes of the whole world, you will have a sister paper which might be in the neighboring country, which might also want to insert one or two pages leaflet in the main newspaper. How are we then going to deal with some of those kind of things? But at the same time, you have the CEO speaking about the S18. And then you have also this issue of our brothers and sisters who are maybe attending schools, been 15 years and so on. Sometimes during holidays, they are maybe taken for part-time jobs to go and distribute. But then you will then get those kinds of magazines in their hand, and then they are been 15 years or 16 years. In actual fact, which one does it does say to that particular newspaper that you cannot use this page to can distribute this kind of magazine at the corner, like the very same newspaper of the voice. If you can find out how old are the people who are going around with this newspaper at the corner, most of them you will find that they are definitely under 18 years. And we also need to get a clarity on that one, if we may. Thank you.
This man is so good. I think Rockstar raises a very good point.
Thank you. I just want to maybe ask the question of self-regulation and that we heard what we heard last week. As I understand the act as it stands now, only applicable to the free-to-air communication. In terms of the one submission we had last week, was indicated that technologically it's not possible for the subscription service to go under the Act. And there was an indication from a representative of the subscription association that they're currently working on a code of conduct that might at this stage speak about. My question is, if that would happen, that we would have to raise with Data, if we would have to raise with you, what is the progress in terms of implementation of that code? And I mean, in practice, this would mean that the Act as it stands now will only be applicable to one, let's say, a viewership populace of South Africa. You will have then a private group who will not fall under it. Is that do I
regret
you or do I
regret
you?
That
may be a
clarification
on that.
Right.
Thank you, Jefferson. Let me also raise another point. Because Jefferson, FDP Act already made discrimination of health pornography a criminal offense. As to the latest version of children's being and sexual offense. They act wanting to implement one item. How are you going to handle it?
I'm not sure that the last question is really
and I'll tell that you have a lot of different kinds of challenges. Or the implementation. Yes. There would have to be synergy. That's why one would have to look at the three different acts and remember that the acts are being administered by different departments as well. So one would have to go and look at the, and I know there was discussion between the SED for justice and the SED regarding certain definitions in the Children's Act, etc., or the Sexual Offences Law. And how we're going to implement that is each department will know, but there has to be streamlining. It's very difficult for me to answer that. But if the legislation speaks in one voice, if the definition in your sexual offences law is basically the same as contained in your SDG bill, of your Home Subcategory Amendment bill, then it's basically the same. So we need those things. Thanks, Jessica.
I think in addition to that, I just wanted to clarify that we need to recall that the Government Publication Board was created in the main. And therefore, we're not necessarily dealing with the act itself, even though we know that what you see in an article would be in general, other than when we're talking about racial bearing. In general, you actually see almost evidence of the commission of child abuse. So that is where our focus as a Government Publication Board is. It's on what you what you see and on the image, on what you see and what you read. So that is where our focus is. But as you already pointed out, we have been working with the bill. But I need to say that in fact this stand was taken to the budget committee to have this in both the films and publications as well as the sexual offences bill. At the advice of especially the SHEF, police and prosecutors have felt that they found it much easier at times, and they found much harsher sentences when they were dealing with the sexual offences than when they were dealing with the Children's and Publications Act, almost by default, because people tend to take issues of... People forget that you're talking about the real child. So they're more readily concerned with, you know, a rape of a child rather than the actual taking of the pictures of the crime itself. So that was my perspective. I think with respect to the issue of self-regulation, this has been a point of concern for the Government Publication Board for quite a while. But I do need to point out that we have been working with MNET quite closely. We have told them our concerns. And I'm not sure about the practicalities. They have been raising the issue around practicality about they would want to comply, but because of the kind of systems that they have in place, if members recall, last week one of the people that were presenting actually said that they at times get these things coming in already packaged. So in essence, if by accident there is some image that is extremely inappropriate or comes from a country which does not have a problem with child porn, and it comes in, I'm taking it too far, but it's a possibility. Comes in, they think they are going to be satellizing into your house, check the repo or something, only to find that it's something else. For the simple reason that they actually do not have control about what they bring into the country. They rely on what those people that they're getting material from say to them. That is of great concern to the Settlement Publication Board. And in the main, whether we like it or not, and that is what is happening in other countries. Trade travel tends to be extremely privileged, and therefore it will tend to be more difficult to regulate. It's a trade tunnel. In the same way that a lot of parents are saying to us that you can't tell me that my child cannot watch this movie, I know my child. They are mature enough, even if they are 15, they have a right to watch what is 16. And we also get those kind of views. So there is a lot of reliance on parents being able to control and say what their kids can watch. But I think that is the least of our problem. In the main, our problem is television, which is more accessible to a lot of children who are not necessarily in your traditional home where the mother or the father or any caregiver would be able to come in and impose a control system to say the child does not watch it. We've got a lot of child-headed households in the country where kids have to be taken care of by the state and other adults within our community. There was a question about magazines. Honorable Kutan, those are some of the things that we really need to clarify. because we said to the Sunday Times that we, you know, the Sunday Times magazine is actually a magazine. But honestly speaking, on what basis are we saying that? That is not some part of the newspaper. So those are some of the things that we really need to, you know, come out clearly and say we're talking about this particular category, which I feel our legislation currently does not do.
Are you making a follow-up?
Yes, thanks for the response, but I think that is maybe the essence of it. Then that means that this act doesn't speak to maybe the aim and objectives of what is the aim. Then maybe the answer lies in self-regulation, let's say the discussion guys come together and say, well, let's see what we can do, because that means technologically you're not going to create a situation where you can, where they can adhere to the act. I mean, because of technology. So that is maybe the...
No, it's
a big problem. That means we will only regulate the poor police air guys. Yanni will quite possibly be able to say something about the war in Iraq, but the prescription guys, the act doesn't really then deal with what our problem. Maybe that we must...
But what are the international trends in this issue, especially in the that when you go to other parts of the world, you go to France, they have a cheap air, and there's a subscription, but you're not getting the sewer that you get from the hospital. How do you do that? Because clearly, there's a problem. Because what is the involvement? The part of what I see from the sense from the subscription for that, what is their role? They don't get fucking paid, that's what it tells them. Not even guys or insects, they get involved in dealing with the content of their country. That the South Africa is what we want to have. Because in France you find that, in fact, you're saying that, and I can confirm, TV is very boring to watch in Europe. Very, 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 very boring. Here, it's violent effects, that's the main thing, and that's business. Violent effects, the main business, nothing else. All these funny movies that you see, South Africa has now become a dumping ground for all of these violent movies and sexual explicit movies. You don't find them in Europe. You don't find them. Now, in the name of freedom of expression, with our conclusion saying we have this freedom, therefore all of these things can give to society. Which we're addressing the problems of violence. We're addressing the problem of HIV, AIDS, the number of issues that we're trying to address as a country, the moral regeneration movement, the government, a lead. And that people who have not even taken into account one of the things, as we as government try to address the challenges that the society faces. In the name of the movement expression, I mean, we're told how we encourage that the freedom of expression. Nothing was said except to say that this government is sort of beginning to produce a bit. And how can you do so? Yes, a problem, but have to deal with it. The bill itself may be create problems itself, but it's not clear on what it is that you want to do. And I think this engagement begins to sort of help us. And I'll appreciate if we begin to know this. But when we say you're going to go back and look at this issue, and come back to us again, very clear, we are currently not clear. What is it that we're trying to address? Some subjects are very clear. But as you look at the amendments, if you go down with them, you'll find that they're still very, very relevant. So this engagement will not be given. The issue that we wanted to use, the issue of the discrimination, is a very important thing in this case. To understand the manner in which we amend these bills now, that it responds the challenge that even the court themselves and themselves, it was not about having to call the public moving, it was why not moving, but for us to understand why they cannot move. If the law is very vague and is not clear, therefore there's a problem. So this amendment must be able to address that problem. Because there's no need for us to bypass an issue which is the current problem now, that the court cannot do anything. Therefore, I think we'll watch what we'll highlight this area and we'll let it come back. I see that Chetty wants to say something, but I'll give Chetty and then we can go.
Charlie has been very quiet, and Amwan is very quiet. I know in China there's no what's called. I don't say that often.
Don't worry too much.
Okay.
I just want to find out because the trade challenge here is that they cannot change their supplier content. Now.